Hi there. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Tom Collins and Graham Rodway looking ahead to another decent Saturday of ITV action from Ascot and Haydock. It's a pretty quiet Sunday, so I don't think we've got anything there, but hopefully the boys are brimming with great betting advice on six ITV4 races. We'll start with the four at Ascot, and the first of which is the 150, the 2 mile, 3 furlong Howden handicap chase. And it's a competitive old heat to kick off with. Best prices, these are indicative best prices at the time of recording. Palmer's Hill is 7-2. Guy is 11-2. Knight in Dubai, 6-1. 7 Financier, 8 Diego de Charmille and Sully Dock AA, and 12-1 Bar. G Rod, how the devil are you? You can go first.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, thanks, Bruce. Yeah.
Did you go to Plumpton on Monday? You were going to go to Plumpton, weren't you?
I couldn't go because one of my kids came down ill, which was a shame. And then the other one just came down last night. You know, like they pass it on to each other like COVID almost, but luckily it's not COVID.
Oh, good. Good.
Anyway, yeah, the 150 at Ascot is going to go to Palmer's Hill, of course. Very impressive at Wetherby last time out, beating top of the Cotswolds in quite a decent time. And I like the way he did it. He was sort of almost on the steal. You know, he looked like he had a little bit left in hand there. And as a result...
What does that mean, on the steal?
What does the steal
refer to, though?
So it's like the steal on the bridle, isn't it? Is that right? I don't know, actually.
It's like a cliche. Steel on it. It's steel and leather contraption, isn't it? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I never quite understood that, but thank you for...
It is one of my favourite racing sayings, you know, on the snaff, isn't it? It's the snaffle, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sort of did it on the snaffle.
And
yeah, and he's only £4 higher because he didn't win by very far, so the handicapper couldn't really whack him for it. And I think that he'll win this. So that's Palmer's Hill in the 150.
Okay, a nice, very basic, simple explanation there of why the favourite will win the first of our TV races. Tom, do you agree with G-Rod?
I respect Palmer's Hill, but I don't agree. I think he's plenty short enough, especially considering he usually runs best when fresh. And that's not to say he can't win this race. He's arguably very well handicapped. I just want to take him on. There are a lot of Ascot regulars in here. I think you can make a case for plenty. Except for potentially Slate House, who's completely lost the plot recently. My selection is going to be Knight in Dubai for Dan and Harry Skelton. He basically just looked like he was going to have a huge future before he sustained an injury in the 2020 Northern Trust at the Cheltenham Festival, the race that was won by Imperial Aura. I'm sure Paul Keighley remembers that race well. Knight in Dubai had 606 days off after that race. Clearly, had a long time to recover from his injury. But I thought he shaped really well the other day at Aintree. He didn't jump particularly nicely, but he travelled into the race powerfully. He finished fifth. I think he's going to strip a lot fitter. And a mark of 1.36 looks plenty fair enough to me. So Knight in Dubai, Bruce.
Okay, we're off and running. Let's do the big race of the day next. 2.25, it's the Howden Long Walk Hurdle, over 3.5 miles a furlong. There's only 8 runners now because unfortunately we lost Buzz, who was the favourite. And he's awful news this morning. He's fractured a pelvis in a gallop. So that's really bad news, not just for the race, but obviously for the curtailment of Buzz's very, very promising career. So a big blow to the race there, but still a very, very interesting heat. And if 8 go to post, we've got each way facilities. Time Hill is your favourite now at 7-4. Ronald Pump is 7-2. Champ is 6s. Thomas Derby 15-2, Paisley Park out to 8s on the blind side 16, Lisnagar Oscar 25, Third Wind 33. Shame Buzz isn't running, isn't it, Tom? But it leaves a very interesting race nonetheless.
Yeah, real shame that Buzz is an 11th hour withdrawal. Obviously, commiserations to Connections and to myself. He was one of 2 anti-post Cheltenham bets that I've had. I really fancied for the Stayers Hurdle. Yeah, so unfortunately, I'll tear that ticket up. I thought we'd win this race pretty comfortably as well. Time Hill and Paisley Park, who fought out of this race last year, and back again. They might fight it out again. Look, it's not a race I really fancy having a bet in now that Buzz has been taken out. If I was to have a punt, it'd probably be on Champ, but that obviously comes with risks attached. He was very inconsistent over fences last couple of seasons, but prior to that, when he was hurdling, he looked a real star, didn't he? He won the Sefton and the Challow in 2019. He could easily bounce back, especially given he goes well fresh. But the defection of Buzz puts a bad look on this race for me. And I might just leave it in total.
You're sulking, aren't you?
I am indeed. Yeah, I am.
That's understandable. It's horrible when an anti-post bet that looked so good, I bet you'd nicked all the value, hadn't you? And then something like that comes along. That's part and parcel, isn't it, unfortunately? G-Rod, what's your view of this race?
Yeah, I mean, I'm along similar lines to TC, really. I thought that Buzz would win this, and I thought that he would go on to be one of the sort of staying superstars. I thought he might be another Thistle Crack, something almost as good as that. So it is such a shame that he has, you know, got this injury. It's an absolutely, you know, poor division, isn't it? The staying hurdle division, and it was crying out for a star. And now we're left with all these old, you know, horses are all right, but not really that good, you know. So I would take a chance on Third Win now, each way at a huge price. I just always think this horse has had loads of ability. I remember him winning round Plumpton one day when he beat Phoenix Way, who also runs on this card in a chase. And I've been following him in bits and pieces since then. And he beat Listener Gar Oscar in quite a good time last year at Haydock on soft ground. Didn't run that well behind Time Hill. Was pulled up at Aintree. But I just get the feeling that, you know, Hughie Morrison will have had him aimed at this race for a little while, coming in fresh. And he's good, isn't he, Hughie? So at the prices now, I'll be taking an each-way bet on Third Wind. I think it's about 33, 40 to 1, something like that.
He is 33 to 1. Wow. Very, very... flamboyant tipping from G-Rod on the long walk. The 3 o'clock at Ascot is the Howden Silver Cup, a handicap chase over 3 miles. We've got 13 runners. Let's see who's offering some extra places. Five from our old mates at Skybet. Don't forget, with Skybet, you don't get the best odds guarantee if you normally do when they offer extra places. But 5 places on a 13-runner race is not to be sniffed at, is it? Bellamy de Picton, currently 9-2 Fav. Grand Sancy is 13-2. And Sam, 8-1, as is Caribbean Boy, as is Cloth Cap, good old Cloth Cap. And indeed, Jerry's back as well. 10-1 brings in Check It Out and Regal Encore. 12-1 Phoenix Way. 14 Bowl. We're back with you, G-Rod, to start.
Yeah, back to me. I think that Cloth Cap is the one. You know, the problem with this is he's one of those horses, and there's quite a few horses who come into this category, isn't there, every season. You got the sitting there thinking, right, Cloth Cap can definitely win this race, but of course the Grand National is the main aim at the end of the year. The weights haven't come out yet. You know, exactly, are they going to be absolutely desperate to win this race? Now, that is, for me, is the only question mark over Cloth Cap, because if they are absolutely desperate to win this race and he's absolutely fully wound up for it, I think he'll win. He's just different gravy to the rest of them. I mean, Ladbrokes Trophy winner by a mile, then that race at Kelso last year, when he's given an RPR of 164, I mean, he's only running off 150. So he's absolutely thrown in if Steve Mason's got that right. And Steve Mason don't get much wrong. And then, of course, the wheels have fallen off a little bit because he had that wind surgery after messing up in the Grand National, where he was favourite. He couldn't breathe, could he? So he was pulled up. But I don't think he's run badly twice this year. First time up at Cheltenham, finished fourth. And John Joe said, oh, he'd come on both physically and mentally for that run. So I assume by mentally means he now knows they say this, don't they? He now knows he can breathe. You know, so next time out, he'll come on for it. And I didn't think he ran that badly in the Ladbrokes Trophy last time. He was obviously running off a much, much higher mark than when he won it last year. And he was sixth of 21. So he's beaten quite a few of them at home. I know only 11 finished, but he was bang there for a lot of the race off a good pace. I thought he showed a bit of the old zest. And he's been dropped £4 for that, which I think is quite generous. So... if they want to win this race, which I hope they do, Cloth Cap will win.
Excellent. Real change of pace there from G-Rod. He was all downbeat about the long walk, but then he came alive when he started talking about Cloth Cap. Make of that what you will. TC, who's your fancy?
I'm going to fall into the trap again, Bruce. I can't believe I'm saying this. I would say it's for the last time, but it's probably not. But I'm going to be with Jerry's back once again. I know. I don't know why I do it to myself. I'm a glutton for punishment, clearly. His jumping is obviously a huge issue, a massive issue. He can't get round in most of his races, and if he does, he ploughs through most of the fences, which is why he's never really cut it in chases, especially at this level. However, he's obviously got the engine of a graded performer. This horse is extremely talented. Unfortunately, I think in this race, at around 9-1. His frailties are factored into the price. So I'm willing to side with him again here. The one positive, aside from the fact that he's got a massive engine, is the fact that three of his best five performances on RPRs have come at Ascot. This jumping test seems to suit him better than any other over fences. So I'm going to take my final chance on Jerry's back. But look, I wouldn't be surprised if he fell or made a couple of terrible mistakes early on.
Blimey, O'Reilly. Okay, your loyalty is absolutely not questioned, but we'll see how that one pans out. Finally, Ascot is the 3.35. It's the Betfair Exchange Trophy handicap hurdle over just shy of the 2 miles. How many have got here? 14 runners, so we should have some extra places. Yeah, 5 from Sky Bet and 5 from William Hill. That's good. No Ordinary Joe is 4-1. Fav, as things stand. Samarive is 6-1. West Cork is 7. Goshen, 8. One more for the road, 9. Luttrell Lad, 12. Benson, 14. Gary Claremont, 14. Tritonic, 14. 16-1. Drop the Anchor. Interesting race, this, not least, obviously, because Goshen is back in handicap company. What do you make of Goshen's chances, Tom? Is he your selection? And if not, who is?
No, he's not my selection. I can't be back in Goshen until he goes over fences. Hopefully, that's the plan in the short term anyway. I think he'll improve for a fence. I think, despite the fact that Not So Sleepy was taken out of the five-day stage, obviously, he dead-heated in the fight in fifth and was originally going to come here to try and win this race for the third consecutive year. I think there's still pace in here, the likes of One for the Road, One More for the Road and Global Citizen. So I think there'll be an end-to-end gallop. That'll suit the likes of No Ordinary Joe, Sam Areve, both of who can race keenly and obviously towards the head of the market. And my selection, which is Luttrell Lad. He's won 3 times in his career for Philip Hobbs, another Philip Hobbs horse. Hopefully this one will arguably run better than Jerry's back in the previous race. But he needs a fast gallop. He's a real keen goer. He fails to settle otherwise. All of his 3 victories have come at flat tracks, 2 around right-handed tracks. He bumped into a real nice prospect in JPR1 last time out at Exeter. The third home that day was I Am Maximus, who obviously beat Mike Droga on his debut and won earlier this week, boosted the form. I think if there is an end-to-end gallop and Luttrell Lad settles, then he's a real big player at a double-figure price.
Excellent. Nice that TT's gone for a Hobbs horse there that has numbers rather than letters in their form string. Graham Rodway, who's your selection?
Yeah, I'm with One More for the Road. It may not surprise you that I've said this a few times in my life before, and I am going to be backing Neil King's runner. Well, I mean, he jumps very well. He's a 2-miler and he's a slick 2-mile hurdler. And I just think when you jump slickly over 2 miles, it just makes all the difference in these big handicaps. Now, the thing that people are aiming at him is that he just wins small field races that he dominates. But he did win a novice hurdle at Stratford early in the year when he didn't lead, and there were 13 runners in that. And he's also won the 10-runner and 11-runner races handicap hurdle. So I don't think that that's a fair criticism. He's absolutely flying along. He's won 5 of his last 6. I just don't know how good he is yet. And I don't think the handicapper knows how good he is. And you couldn't rate his victory at Newbury last time too highly, the handicapper, because it was like a messy tactical race. And he's only gone up £3 as a result. So I think that might underestimate One More for the Road.
Marvellous stuff. Thank you very much, gents. That was Ascot. This is Haydock.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to Haydock Races on ITV4 on Saturday. First up, the 2.05. It's the Virgin Bet Handicap Hurdle. Over 2 miles and 3 furlongs, 9 go to post. And Mackleduff is Fav at 5-2. Then we've got 7-2 Stella Magic, 7 Bossman Fred, 15-2 Little Awkward, 15-2 Up for Parole, 10-1 Bar. What are your thoughts, Graham Rodway?
Yeah, I think that one of the better bets of the day runs in this race, Stella Magic for Philip Hobbs again. Hobbsy just had a winner at Ascot, and he does well at this Ascot meeting. I happen to be running some stats out, and he was one of the better trainers at this December Ascot meeting in the last 10 years. So kind of suggests that maybe his horses do come into their own at this time of the year. And it's great that he's had a winner already, because I did tip it. I think Stella Magic is even better than his winner today, Earth Lord. I mean, the victory at Taunton two runs ago, when he beat horse called Alaphilippe, it worked out remarkably well. Alaphilippe came out next time, won a Grade Two race. The hot favourite Tile Tapper was third. All the right horses were there. It's soft ground. He seems to handle testing conditions, so it will be testing at Haydock. Unlike at Ascot, it'll be really, really soft, I expect, at Haydock as per normal. You can forget his last run at Warwick because he chipped a bone in a knee, apparently. So he's back off a long layoff, but he's got form fresh. I think he'll win Stella Magic.
Thank you very much, Graham. Tom?
Yeah, well, G-Rod's basically stolen my exact argument there.
Cool.
I really like Stella Magic too, and obviously the fracture in his knee last time out was an obvious excuse. A mark of 133 seems very fair.
Lovely. Well done, lads. Nice bit of unity there. Let's move on to the 240 at Haydock now. It's the Virgin Bet Tommy Whittle handicap chase over 3 miles and 1.5 furlongs. 16 go to post. I want plenty of extra places. Skybet 6. Pretty much everyone else 5. So lots of each way opportunities here. And we've got a fairly hot favourite for the Pipe and Scudamore combo with Remastered, who's roughly 11-4 now. Calypso Collange is 7s. Buzz de Turcoin is 10s, as is Shanty Alley. Vintage Clouds is 10s. Encarde is 12. So is Sam's Adventure. 14, Fuji Flight. 16, Bar. Tough one, this is. Well, I say tough one. You might just think the favourite's Home and Hose. Do you, Tom?
Yes, I'll be back in 2 in the race. Remastered is 1. I think it's really hard to get away from. He fell 4 out in the Labrador Trophy. I think, obviously, the race was still developing at that stage. Cloudy Glenn, who eventually won the race, was bang there. I'm pretty sure Remastered would have won if he navigated the final 4 fences. Obviously, he didn't. It was a real crashing fallout at 4 out at top speed as well. Luckily, the horse got up because I initially thought the worst, but hopefully he's a lot, you know, he's back fit and well and ready for this. If he races and performs exactly as he did at Newbury, I think he'll win this race off the same mark of 146. However, he is obviously a short price and there are good each way terms. So I'll also be having a bit on Encard as a saver at around 12-1. He was also traveling really well in this race last year when he fell at the 13th. Now his jumping can be an issue. Much like Jerry's back, who I tipped earlier. Not as bad as him, I have to say, but it can be an issue. So that is my one worry with Encard, but I think he's well handicapped for a real shrewd trainer in Richard Newland too. So Remasters to win and Encard each way for me.
Thank you, Thomas. What about you, Graham?
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance that Remaster might just entirely outclass them. I mean, that National Hunt Chase last year has worked out remarkably well. Galvin obviously won it. Next Destination was in there. Slow Leopardess, who won the Beecher. And, of course, Remastered was 5th. And in the Ladbrokes Trophy, Tom Scudamore got off of Remastered to ride Cloth Cap, who, of course, I've tipped at Ascot. Yet this time, Tom Scudamore is at Haydock to ride Remastered rather than ride Cloth Cap. So make of that what you will. However, he is quite a short price, as Tom said. And I just think at a bigger price each way, I'll be taking a chance on last year's winner, Sam's Adventure. He just is a Haydock horse, isn't he? You get these horses, they like really testing ground around Haydock. They're not as good anywhere else, but this is their bag. And I just think you can say that about Sam's Adventure. This will obviously have been the target. He's £9 higher than last year, but there's a good chance he could run into a place at double figure odds at least.
Excellent. Thank you very much, gents. Loads more tipping to come.
New subscribers can get 50% off Ultimate Monthly for 3 months using the code HOLIDAYS. That's 3 months of our Ultimate Monthly Members Club package for just £17.48 per month. For full terms and to claim, visit racingpost.com/happyholidays.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, Tom Collins and Graham Rodway. We've done the 6 ITV4 races on Saturday. Now we'll see what else the boys fancy. Do not give your naps away. You start, Tom.
Yeah, so, I mean, I haven't done my US tipping yet, which is a bit of a nightmare for this podcast, as I know a few followers anyway, at least a handful, like the US selection. So you'll have to go to the app for those. It's just, I've just got one other one for you, Bruce, which is in the 2 o'clock at Lingfield. And it's a favourite in Felix, but I think he's a great favourite and the most likely winner across the cards on Saturday. The Winter Derby will obviously be his main aim again. He finished 2nd in that race last year. I just think he should outclass this field. He's drawn really well, and Joey Ratzini takes the ride. There's already been a bit of money for him this week. And he travelled beautifully in the Churchill Stakes over this course and distance last month. I was at Cheltenham that day, I'm sure plenty of people were, but managed to sneak into the, by the paddock and watch this race. And I thought it was a real eye-catcher. He kind of blew up a little bit late on his first run off a layoff. I really do think that Felix is a banker in the 2 o'clock at Lingfield.
Okay, when you just announced to the audience that your US tips will be on the app, can you be more specific? Which app, when, and what can people expect?
Sure, the Racing Post app and the website, and also in the Racing Post newspaper tomorrow. The app from 6 p.m. this evening, Racing Post app from 6 p.m. this evening in the news section. There should be two selections, probably both from Gulfstream, but yet to come down on the shortlist.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that, Tom. Graham Rodway, what have you got for us?
Yeah, my best bets are both at Ascot. I like this Ascot card, actually. In the first race, the 12:40 Imphal for Gary Moore had won three on the bounce before going in as favourite at Lingfield last time. Just given far, far too much to do by an inexperienced £10 claiming rider, would almost certainly have completed the four time. He's only £1 higher here, and Jamie Moore's back on board. So I think Imphal will win the 12:40. The 1:15 at Ascot, I think that will go to Messiah DeZobo, who beat Protector in a Grade 2 last year over fences at Wincanton. Lost his way afterwards, but has a good record fresh. Lots of back class. And just caught my eye that Isaac Swade and is it Simon Munir?
Yeah.
They've had a lot of winners at this Ascot meet. And it just made me think, I don't know, is this a mad theory? But I just think, well, maybe some people go, oh, it's coming up to Christmas. You know, we'd like to have some winners. Why don't we lay some out for that little meeting? You know, it'd be nice to have a winner going in at Christmas, wouldn't it? And then just be able to sit there eating your Christmas dinner going, oh, yeah, we had a good day at Ascot the other day. What do you think?
I think their ambitions are slightly loftier than that, I would say, to be honest. It's quite a big operation.
Surely everyone likes to have a nice Christmas, though, don't they?
Well, of course they do. But, I mean, you know, they're not skint, those two. I don't think they need the prize money from the Howden graduation chase to be able to get a half-decent turkey. You know? I mean, you might be right, G-Rod. You never know. I mean, it's perfectly possible. I met Simon Munir the other day. I was up at... I was in a very posh box watching Arsenal v Palace and with my daughter, and we're having a lovely time afterwards. It was free bar, so we're giving that some welly. And all of a sudden, chap came up and shook my hand, introduced me and said, oh, it's Simon Munir. So we had a lovely chat. Really nice fella. Really, really nice fella. Yeah. So,
brilliant.
Yes, that was good.
But did you ask him if he likes to have a nice Christmas or not?
I didn't, because I didn't want him to think I was completely deranged. But I suppose I could have done. I mean, this was probably late September. It would have sounded quite weird if I'd gone, OK, Simon, well, thanks for telling us all about your horses this year. By the way, do you like to have a nice Christmas? I don't know, that would have gone down too well, would it? You would have asked that, would you? Anyway, you think they're plotting one here with Messier DeZobo, do you, in the 1:15?
I do.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think he's going to make their Christmas.
Brilliant. I concur with that tip as well. I think he's got a great chance. He's one of the best jumpers of a fence I've seen in the last couple of years.
Cool. Excellent. All right, then, lads, let's get your naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Tom Collins. If you're only having one bet on the racing on Saturday, who would it be on?
Luttrell Lad in the 3:35 Ascot each way would be my nap.
Okay, and G-Rod?
Yeah, my best bet is a weird one, but it's in the 3:25 at Newcastle. It's a junior National Hunt flat race, and I think that Trolley Boy will almost certainly win the race. It was a red-hot bumper in which it finished second last time out at 13-8 favourite. The winner, Poetic Music, has since been balked by Fergal O'Brien and won well at Newbury the other day. I think the third is a subsequent winner and the fifth has won since. And Trolley Boy was favourite to beat them all and was leading around two furlongs out, but wandering around looking green as grass, really in need of the experience.
Was it like one of those trolleys I always get in the supermarket where one of the wheels doesn't work and it goes off in a weird direction? direction.
Yeah, it was well named. Yeah, it was a bit like that. Yeah, it just was all over the shop and definitely was in need of the experience. I think that, a reproduction of that form, given how strong that race was anyway, will probably be good enough. But we'd be absolutely amazed if Trolley Boy doesn't improve for the experience. And the trainer, Ed Bethel, is better known for flat horses than jumpers. So I just think this will win Trolley Boy. I think our spotlight forecast had it in around 2-1. I mean, if it's anywhere near that, it's a massive price, but I think it probably will be about evens come the day, but you might be able to sneak, you know, a bit bigger when they open up tonight.
The only thing is, you've got all these newcomers from some of the swankier northern yards. You just never know, do you, Judy, or if you're going to run into one decent.
Oh, he did run into one decent last time, that Poetic Music. So I'll be surprised if there's one as good as that in here, but we'll see.
All right, fair enough. I'm going to ask you a question, lads, before we go. There's been loads of big news stories lately in racing, and one of the ones yesterday was that that Tom Dascombe has split with Michael Owen, which leaves a vacancy at Manor House Stables. If you were Michael Owen, which progressive trial, you might not even be a progressive one, you might put an old hand in there. Who do you think he should install there as the in-house trainer to replace Tom Dascombe? I'm going to ask you first, Tom Collins.
Oh, it's a very interesting question, because obviously Tom Dascombe and Michael Owen had such great success that it's going to be really hard for anyone to step into those shoes and match that, especially around Chester. I mean, there are a handful of names, aren't there? Obviously, Archie Watson's and the like. To be honest, I really don't know. Ed Crisford would be an interesting one, but they have Simon and Ed Crisford, I should say, but they have plenty of runners. Maybe George Bowie, he could be a leading light. He's probably the best young gun, especially with two-year-olds. And Michael Owen obviously loves to have plenty of two-year-old winners, especially on the Rudy. So probably George Bowie.
Okay, fair enough. G-Rod, have you got a view?
It's a very difficult question. I mean, do you think they have to go for like a young... Do you think he'll definitely go for a young and up-and-coming one? Or
I don't know. He might put Mick Kingston in there. You never know, do you?
I mean, you'd think it would be someone based up north, maybe. Because obviously they're sort of Chester, aren't they? I don't know, to be honest.
Oh, mate. That fell flat on its face, didn't it? Thank you, Tom. At least you proffered an answer. All right, boys, weekend plans quickly before we go. What are you up to, Tom?
On Sky Sports Racing to cover the action at Wolverhampton and in the US tomorrow night. And then Sunday, I am off to Kempton.
Oh, lovely. What is that? Are they over the sticks at Kempton?
No, on the flat. A lovely all-weather flat card. Arguably my favourite meetings of the year. A bit of Kempton on the all-weather. Generally on a Wednesday night, but, you know, stretching out to a Sunday this time.
Oh, fair enough. What about you, G-Rod? Anything exciting coming up for you?
Yeah, quite looking forward to this weekend. I'm actually going to Fakenham on Sunday. So,
oh, lovely.
Yeah, that'll be really good. It's a great little track, isn't it, Fakenham? And we've got the restaurant booked for a Christmas meal. Should be absolutely lovely. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, smashing. That'll be good, won't it? How many good... There's a 7 race cards. There's always a few small fields, but I'm looking down there, 4, 6, 7, 7, 8, 17. So that's not too bad, is it? You'll have fun there, won't you, G-Rod?
Yeah, but by Fakenham standards, that is a quite big field, isn't it?
It's like the Grand National, isn't it? Excellent. I always buy the distances at Fakenham, particularly if they're going soft, so I shall keep one eye on that. Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. Most of all, I thank you guys for listening. We've got a Monday review podcast coming up. Don't forget our quick shout out for Mark Langland's Bets Club, which is out every Thursday, our fantastic weekly football podcast. Hopefully there will be enough football for them to have something to discuss. And if not, we're back next Friday for another Racing Post weekend podcast.